The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is back after about a week upstate New York doing a family reunion. Bob, my longtime producer and engineer on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday, June the 18th, 2019. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. That's also the place for all of our podcasts. Very easy to hear any of our programs. They're all very conveniently archived for you. Our live line number 790-2040. So much to talk about in the first segment, so let's get right into it with Kim Kirshner. Kim is from the Tucson-based Institute for Better Education. There's been all sorts of news concerning school choice and all sorts of tax credit information that's just come out in the last few days. So, Kim, first of all, welcome to the program, and it's very serendipitous to have you on now because this information is really new, isn't it?
It's very timely. It is very timely because the Treasury Department just last week came out with their final rules when it comes to that whole federal deduction debate that we've been going through since August of last year.
And before you get into that, take a deep dive into those rules, let's talk a little bit about the Institute for Better Education. What is it and what are some of your missions?
Basically, the Institute for Better Education is a 501c3 nonprofit that takes tax credit donations from Arizona taxpayers, either individuals or businesses, and we turn those into scholarships for children to attend the private school that best fits their needs here in Arizona. We've been doing it for over 20 years.
And you work with how many schools, Kim?
We work with over 290 schools throughout the entire state.
A variety of type of schools? Give us kind of that overview.
Absolutely. So if a parent makes the decision that a specific kind of school is the best fit for their child, let's say whether it's a faith-based school or let's say it's a school for a child with autism, or we have a number of schools that are here and even in Tucson that work with low-income children, that the children are not only graduating college are graduating high school, they're headed to Ivy League schools. They are focused on the child. They want to make sure the child has the best education. So across the gamut, we work with any private school that the parent feels is the best fit for their child.
How can you explain for us what school choice is? And for some people, that are huge advocates for public schools, and that's fine, but they feel that perhaps school choice is a kind of dirty words that are taking away from their resources.
Exactly. And I understand the debate, but the fact of the matter is school choice is all about focusing on a child's needs, their learning styles, how they are going to be the best student and which will make them the best community member after they graduate. A school choice family would be any child who is homeschooled, who attends a charter school, who attends a public school outside their district. A lot of families don't even realize that if they're going to a school outside their school that they have been told to go to, their school choice family, as well as private schools. So school choice just means a family has made the decision that a specific kind of schooling is going to be the best for their child, which does nothing but make our community better.
How can people help when it comes to and help their own tax situation?
So the way a tax credit works, it's a state dollar-for-dollar tax credit, whether it's at the individual level or at the business level. So what you do is you say, all right, I have this particular liability at the state level for an individual. I can make a tax credit donation to IBE, who will give them a dollar-for-dollar credit. Writing a check to IBE is just like writing a check to the Department of Revenue. It is paying your tax. So it's the same money that you would be spending anyway. You're just helping children instead. And an Arizona business, whether it's a C corporation, S corporations, most insurance companies, can do the same thing. They can make the choice and say, no problem sending it to the Department of Revenue. Not saying that's a bad thing. But if you would like to have a true say in where your dollars are going and help further Arizona children, tax credits to private school Tuition organizations like myself, where an STO, school tuition organization, is the way to help.
I did not realize it was that easy.
It is that easy.
So if you, as an individual taxpayer, have a tax liability, and so many of us do, you write a check to IBE, Institute for Better Education, and that's going to cut into what you will owe. You won't owe as much, in other words, to the federal government.
Or to the state government.
To the state government.
Exactly. It will either reduce what you owe or it will increase your refund.
Wow.
The fact of the matter is, let's say your state liability is $2,000.
Yes.
And you've paid $2,000 to the state of Arizona through your paycheck withholding. Well, fact of the matter is, if you also make a $2,000 tax credit donation, that will come back to you in a refund.
Kim Kirshner is with us. She's with the Tucson-based Institute for Better Education, talking about these are really new guidelines that the Treasury Department has come down with. So we talked about individual taxpayers. Any further words about corporate taxpayers, Kim?
Absolutely. Well, and just real quick,
sure.
Go back to the individual. The new guidelines, what it has done is it has allowed individual taxpayers who basically are itemizing on their federal return and they are under the $10,000 state SALT cap, and I don't want to get too technical,
sure.
But a lot of people were caught last year there that it almost didn't pay to make a tax credit donation. The new federal guidelines from the Treasury Department states that if you are under the $10,000 state SALT cap and you have made a tax credit donation, you can deduct it at the federal level now, whereas you couldn't before. That is huge news. And even taxpayers for 2018 can amend their returns to take in that new rule that allows you to deduct your state tax credit donation at the federal level. So that's going on at the state for the individuals, but for businesses, it's very timely because right now is when Arizona businesses need to jump on board of the state tax credit ability for them, the donation, because IBE would need any of those one-page, very simple to do applications. S-Corps, C-Corps, and insurance companies that pay taxes here in Arizona can make that same choice to say, I would like my state tax money to help children. The big news is again, C-Corps can deduct it, insurance companies can deduct it, but they're even telling us, and I will tell you, I am not a CPA, but we have been told by the Treasury Department that S-Corps will be able to deduct it as a business expense. So what this means, if that's true, is that you will be able to, as an S-corporate owner, make a tax credit donation that will be paid by your business. Because that tax credit flows through to the shareholders, you will be able to realize that credit personally. So in other words, have your business pay for your state tax credit liability. And according to the new rules, they're telling us you will also be able to take it as a business deduction, which will reduce what they call your K-1, which will reduce what you owe federally as well. Now, the reason why I'm saying is what they're telling us is we're having a lot of people reviewing this, CPAs reviewing this documentation. But the fact of the matter is, go ahead and make your application to IBE. Say, you know what? I want to take advantage of this. I want to help kids. I want to reduce potentially my federal, what we owe at the federal level. If it turns out that's not the case, you don't have to fund it. The way a tax credit works at the business level, you get us the application by June 30th. Contact IBE at azcorporatetax.org. will walk you through it. Very simple process. Say, I would like to make this donation. I want to help either low-income children or children with a disability, and I want to help them. It won't even be, we don't need to fund it till the end of July, which by then we'll have all of the rules finalized on how an S-Corp donation works. And at that time, you'll say, you know, I did my application. I don't like what the federal government's telling me. I'm not going to fund it. But the bottom line is, because of the other two advantages, which are helping children and being able to have your business pay for your state liability, do it. Get a hold of us. Let's
again,
get these kids help.
There's a deadline here.
June 30th, we need to have it because everything is sent to the Department of Revenue the first 2 days of July. And last year, our statewide cap of it was about $94 million, went within a minute, 20 seconds. Now, it's going to be closer to $106 million this year, but the fact of the matter is businesses are so excited about having this choice to help children, low-income children, or children with disabilities who have ever been in our foster care system. There are very vulnerable children that we want to make sure are getting the best education for that child.
Okay, Kim, where can people find out more?
Go to our website at azcorporatetax.org. We're just up there at Speedway and Swan Air. If you want to stop by and see us, give us a call at 520-512-5438. We will answer all of your questions, and it is so simple. And again, it is money you already have to spend, but now you get to help children.
And everything we've talked about is pretty much on the website.
Absolutely.
All right. Kim Kirshner, a pleasure. Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kim Kirshner from the Tucson-based Institute for Better Education. Coming up now on 12:15, one of our great sponsors is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And the exciting news is they're doing breakfast now, 6:30 in the morning, open for breakfast. All the new grill is in, and they're doing such a great job up there at the north. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open for if you don't want to do breakfast now, that's fine. Or how about lunch? The bread that those sandwiches are served on came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. So good. Mona'sDanishBakery.com, and there's a link at BuckmasterShow.com. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
All right, let's welcome now Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. Shelley, how is your week going so far?
The week's going great, and today, from a stock market perspective, it's going really great, up about 370 points. And anytime the market does that, Two things. Number one, you celebrate, and number two, you ask why.
Yeah, and especially I'm asking on a Tuesday.
Yeah, right.
That just doesn't happen
so
much on a Tuesday.
It can't really be Tuesday. Yeah. It must be Wednesday or
so
Thursday.
So things are going really well. And bottom line, why?
Bottom line on anticipation that the Fed will announce some willingness to cut interest rates. So this is based on the possibility that corporate profits will do well. We always have to remind people that this is not based necessarily on any anticipation that the economy will do well. This is strictly kind of a short-term view of what would happen if interest rates go down, money gets cheaper, then there could be more investment or higher profits for the businesses that are in these indices.
Any trade stuff in there? A trade with China and the meeting?
Yeah, I believe the president tweeted this morning that they've actually set a meeting with the Chinese at the G20, and more of this optimism about a deal being just around the corner. We've heard that before, and when the market has responded positively to that, they've been disappointed in the past. Optimism always reigns supreme. But we'll have to see what happens there.
I like that article Dr. Marilyn Hines writing in the Star on Sunday. Investing for those of us who are older people, let's put it that way.
Yeah, she used the word geriatric. I always think geriatric is always older than me.
Yeah, geriatric has all sorts, I think, negative term. How about those of us who are vital older people?
There you go. So what she's saying here, and it's a very good article, and I recommend that people who are at all interested in planning for their retirement and what happens as they get older, give it a careful read. It's a very straightforward article. She's getting advice from a financial advisor who she's listening to and she thinks a lot of. And what she's saying is, number one, and here's where I disagree with her, that the advice that is in this article is really not intended for people who do not have the kind of retirement savings or the kind of assets that they would need to do this kind of planning. What she's saying for those people, unfortunately, this stuff doesn't apply. She's wrong about that. In fact, in some cases, the less planning you've done, the more planning you need.
Right.
And even if you don't currently have the assets that you might need to go into a retirement that will meet all of your objectives, that's even more reason why you have to be very, very cautious and careful about how you do this. There are strategies that people who don't have $500,000 or $1 million in invested assets can use to maximize what they do have and make sure they understand what their cash inflows and outflows will be. That said, what she was writing, the group of people she is writing for are not the super rich, but the people who have done a creditable job of saving for their old age. And then she just has some cautions about what you need to be doing in order to optimize the use of those funds and make sure that your objectives during your retirement years will be met. And, a couple of things that are really interesting. She talks about planning for the probable worst outcomes instead of the possible worst outcomes. And she says, look, it's possible that the world could end tomorrow, but it's not likely. It's not probable that the world will end tomorrow. But there are some known unknowns that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
You could get very sick.
Mm-hmm.
You could get into a situation where you have Alzheimer's disease or some other degenerative disease. Your medical expenses could get very large. You could have a relative who becomes dependent upon you. And so all of your planning that you may have done for you and a spouse or you and a partner or you and your family suddenly brings in other financial extremes that you hadn't planned for. So it's a good idea to think about what kinds of things could go wrong with the plan that you and your advisor have come up with. So that's a really good point. The next two or three points that she makes all relate to the same general idea, which is that, you know, don't listen to the media. Don't listen to your friends. Don't get your investment advice from the internet. Work with professionals, because the media, the internet, your friends, they're not you, and their circumstances are not your circumstances. And advice that's given for the general person, and we know the general person doesn't exist, mm-hmm. are not things you can necessarily bring into your financial life. So get good advice from one or two or three professionals, including somebody you might kind of call your financial advisor, and then weigh that advice carefully. So that's a really good part of this article.
Yeah, she said about beware of online financial advice.
Oh, and she's absolutely yeah. right about that. Now, that doesn't mean you don't look at it. That
sure,
doesn't mean
of course.
You shouldn't broaden your horizons to include all of this stuff. But don't look, I always talk about the two devils that, you know, live on your shoulder, fear and greed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them whisper in your ear, number one. And number two, don't make rash decisions or snap decisions when it comes to your financial future. It's the same rule that goes to, you know, never write an email after 10 o'clock at night and hit the send button.
Right,
you know,
right.
Never do that.
No.
So, you know, that's pretty good advice.
I like this one. Do not give away everything right
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
You've just retired and suddenly you're feeling pretty generous. Oh, I'm going to give some money away.
Well,
but a lot.
And that's, I think, a throwback to some earlier advice that was always given about charitable donations and tax shelters that applied to people who had reasonable estates or reasonable invested assets. Today, the amount of assets you can accumulate before you can have tax effects of those things is very, very large. $20 million for a couple. So you don't have to worry about sheltering a whole bunch of assets before you leave them to your beneficiaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, along with a financial advisor, you might make some decisions. You also might want, because it's who you are and what you want to do, you might want to do some gifting or some pre-gifting. That's okay. But keep in mind that you have to make sure that your needs are taken care of. Your and your family's needs are taken care of first. There's another extreme to that, Bill, which is some advice she gives in here that I don't agree with, which is that your finances must be managed for you in an age-appropriate and risk-tolerance-appropriate way.
Mm.
There are people who have enough assets, not fabulously rich people, but people who have enough assets so that a piece of those assets is in their mind designated for, say, offspring, children, grandchildren, whatever. You could argue, make a very good argument that you can wall off those assets and that piece of your portfolio should appropriately be managed in an age-appropriate way for the person who's likely to get that asset.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to give an asset to a 20-year-old
mm-hmm.
or a 15-year-old
mm-hmm.
or a 30-year-old when you die,
mm-hmm.
and you manage that asset for you as a 70-year-old,
mm-hmm.
that asset is probably not going to grow
right.
as well over time
sure.
as it should.
Yeah.
So that's something, again, chat with your advisor about. The other thing that's very important that people don't think about, financial advisors are very good at predicting, forecasting, and managing what comes into your portfolio. How to manage your portfolio, how to invest in your portfolio, how to get dividends from your portfolio, how to get income from your portfolio. What an advisor cannot do is manage the outputs, the outflows of your cash. So you've got to do that. You've got to know what you spend every month. You've got to know what you can spend every month given your assets. You have to manage that and be able to work with an advisor from not gut feelings, mm-hmm. but real tracking of what your expenses are so that you know that at times you may be going over your budget, mm-hmm. you may be spending too much money, you may not be keeping on plan. But again, your advisor can only know the half that's based upon your assets and the incoming funds. The outgoing funds are what you do every day.
Yep.
And so it's really worth the effort. And in fact, it's more than worth the effort. It's almost a necessity in doing this kind of planning to understand what your outflows are.
All right. Great advice from Shelley Fishman. And a really good article. Dr.
Yeah.
Marilyn Hines.
And she doesn't normally write financial stuff.
Right.
It's interesting to see
so
this.
You can see this at Tucson.com.
It's in Sunday's paper, and you can see it on
Star. All right. Thanks, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Okay.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. One of our great sponsors is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. You know, it's cooler over there. The elevation's 5,500 feet, so think like Denver's elevation. It's going to be cooler, and it's a great getaway. Just 3-hour drive from Tucson. Coming up in mid-July is one of their big events. It's the Silver City Clay Festival. That's a week of everything devoted to clay, all that great pottery. So that's coming up July 15th through the 21st. Find out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. The complete listing of many great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. We welcome now to the program local businessman, woman.
Thank you, Bill.
Businesswoman, Randy Dorman. Randy, one of three Democrats running for the mayor in the city of Tucson. Randy has been a businesswoman for 30 years with firsthand experience creating jobs, from working with billion-dollar companies in New York to spending the last 20 years helping lead the revitalization in downtown Tucson. Randy, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
I'm happy to be here.
We can't announce the endorsement, who it is from, but we learned just 5 minutes ago that you just did snag a really big endorsement.
A really big endorsement.
And
I'm very
we'll
excited.
We'll be hearing about that on the news probably within an hour or so, but can't release it right now, but you're really jazzed about this.
I'm very excited, and it is a great testament to the Smart and Focused campaign we've been doing and my ability to enact change.
How are we going to change to make this a better city?
There's so many things that we can do. This is already a wonderful city. We have great people, natural beauty, an amazing culture, but
do have terrible poverty here, let's face
it. It's 18% poverty.
Yeah.
And so many of our problems really go back to our weak economy. And while we've been doing better, last year we only had 1.2% job growth, which was far behind Phoenix, the state, and the country. And that is not good enough in a city like ours when we have so many resources. So I've been a businesswoman for 30 years and with big businesses and my own business here. And I am laser focused on growing our economy and creating better paying jobs. I have a really robust plan to do that.
For folks who don't know who you are, who are you? Where are you from and what's your background?
Sure. So I'll try to make it short,
sure.
I'm originally from New York, where I grew up.
New York City?
Or? I grew up outside New York City on Long Island.
Uh-huh.
I lived in the city for 15 years, and I had a really big career in advertising and in global branding. Mm-hmm. I worked for Interbrand, which was the largest branding firm in the world.
Wow.
And I ran our global Procter & Gamble business, which was our largest global client. And
you
I had
ran
grown.
It?
I ran it. So I managed a team of strategists and designers.
All those products that they've got in that
we
portfolio?
Goodness. So we had a whole bunch of their brands,
yeah.
Like Crest, Charmin, Old Spice. Those were all billion-dollar brands
yeah.
in and of themselves.
Worldwide market.
And it, like with Charmin started as a national brand and we expanded it globally with them.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
it was very exciting, and it really taught me what big multinational, multi-billion dollar businesses need to grow and how they look at their business and their markets.
Mm-hmm.
I moved from New York City to downtown Tucson in 2001 because my husband is from here, native, and when I had been visiting while we were dating, I just fell in love with Tucson and saw so much potential in downtown. But in 2001, so many of the storefronts were empty.
That was bad. That was bad times. Downtown.
It was not that much fun, but
no.
We really saw the opportunity, and we also saw what a drain having an unrevitalized downtown was on our economy. Our young people weren't staying. There wasn't a central part of town where things can happen. There were pockets of things happening, but certainly not to the level that we needed to keep our grads and foster diversity, foster innovation, and have it be the hub for where people wanted to live, work, and play. So a few months after I moved here, Rob came home and said that a friend of ours had found an old ice factory on the edge of downtown, and they thought that we should turn it into lofts. And this was in early 2002.
And how's that doing now?
Well, it's fabulous. We We turned it into the Ice House Lofts, which was Arizona's first residential loft conversion. We had two partners in that, in doing that. But we finished that in 2005. That project was well ahead of downtown revitalization, but it was really important to show people what was possible.
Yeah.
And that people really wanted a different way of living, wanted to be near downtown, and that helped kick off the wave of a lot of what has happened. So many people have been involved in the revitalization of downtown, but I'm really proud that we were part of it.
Well, as you know, a lot of the people who live, who don't live in the downtown area, they feel like, well, all the attention goes downtown. Hey, we live in this city too. How about throwing some of that love our way?
One of the main reasons.
I mean, you hear this a lot.
I do hear that even before I started running. And I've been chairwoman of the Downtown Tucson Partnership for 3 years. And one of the main reasons I'm running is that we have put a lot of vision and energy into downtown. We needed to. Mm-hmm. But there are opportunities throughout Tucson, and we need to use that same vision and energy to find opportunities throughout the city. And with my business and real estate background and my innovation background, I felt like I was really the one to help lead the way in doing that.
I'm going to ask you a branding question, because that's what you did in New York. How do you think Tucson is branded? I mean, I've been in town 31 plus years, and I've seen kind of, we've gone this way and we've gone that way. What do you see as the brand for this place?
Well, that is incredibly difficult to answer, because it really depends on your target audience. So I think that Visit Tucson has done a good job branding us for visitors.
Uh-huh.
But what I'm really concerned about is branding Tucson for people who live here,
right,
and should live here. And right now, I think there's a lot of opportunity, and there's a lot of relevance to have a nice life. And so you can live and you can play. I think what has been very challenging for a lot of people is to also be able to work and have a real career here. That's what I hear over and over again, that there aren't the career opportunities, not just job opportunities. But we have to grow our economy in so many ways. So part of my plan is to reform our economic development department into a hub for all things that the small and medium-sized businesses and the startup community, everything that they need to thrive. We don't do that now, and it's hard to do business here, and we could make it so much easier by connecting them with best practices on employee retention and attraction, IT and social media boot camps, connect them to the job training services that are available, even have a centralized hub for job posting and job finding. There's just really a lot that we can do. But we also have to realize that people want to be here for a career, not just for a single company, and we need to establish industry-specific ecosystems. So health and wellness, bioscience, aerospace. There's a whole bunch of them that are natural fits for us, and I would want to meet with the business groups in town to determine where we want to have that focus. Those ecosystems for companies foster innovation, friendly competition, and it means when somebody comes here for a job, there's a place for them to go if they're not happy at a single company, and they can actually have a career. So ultimately, we want to be the place where people can live, work, and play, and the work part being really have a whole career here.
Zach had a call. Zach is doing such a great job.
Oh, I love Zach.
From 10 to noon, Zach Yenzer. For folks who don't know Zach, give him a listen. But he had a call, and the lady was saying that she doesn't really want Tucson to grow. And that kind of reminds me of my first time living in Tucson in the late 60s, going to the University of Arizona when I came out here from Chicago. There's been this no-growth movement in Tucson. We patterned ourselves in many ways after places like Portland, didn't want to grow, become a big, you know, megamopolis like
right.
Phoenix. But I think there's still this element in the community, Randy Dorman, that doesn't want to see Tucson grow.
There will always be part of the community that doesn't want to see Tucson mm-hmm. grow. And I absolutely understand it. First, change is hard. And people like things to stay the way they are. And there are so many wonderful things about Tucson. So every time people think about growth, they think about those things changing. What I think is really key is the balance. And so the second kind of tenet of mm-hmm. my platform, I call smart growth. Okay. And it's really planning for the growth that is and will occur here while balancing, maintaining our culture and our character. And there's so many ways that we can do that. We haven't been as good at it as we should be. But every time we think that if we don't plan for the growth that's happening, that it'll just stop, we absolutely screw ourselves as a city, and we have to stop doing that.
All right, we're speaking with Randy Dorman, one of three Democrats running for the position of mayor in the city of Tucson. And there's been all sorts of forums, haven't there, Randy?
Oh, so many.
I know. I wanted to mention one that's coming up. This one's upcoming forum on gentrification, featuring the candidates for mayor and I think the candidates for Democratic candidates for Ward 1. This is going to be over at this Saturday, El Rio Neighborhood Center, 1390 West Speedway. That's going to be at 1, I think 1 to 3, something like that. Sometime in the afternoon. But anyway, you've been to a lot of forums.
We've had a lot of forums. I love them because it's an opportunity for me to speak with the community mm-hmm. and let them know my ideas. Some of them have better questions than others, but sure. I try to answer all of them. And part of my platform is to really answer questions directly, not
and
to fake
be as
answers,
be as possible,
totally
right?
transparent. And if I don't know something, I'm perfectly comfortable saying I need to research that more.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. It's the Buckmaster Show. We're with Randy Dorman on 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, this portion of our program presented by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things has just become a tremendous destination in itself, Randy. 13 acres.
Wow.
They've got all these great plants, but and they've got Zocalo, which for years was over at Country Club and Broadway, had all that great merchandise from
right.
Mexico, all that hand-done merchandise from Mexico, all that great furniture. Well, now it's part of the Green Things family, and so you can go by, get all your plants, and then shop the five shops at Zocalo Village. It's greenthingsaz.com for more. We'll be back with Randy Dorman on Buckmaster after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Join hundreds of other Arizona businesses who have chosen to put kids first. The Corporate Tax Credit Scholarship Program's deadline is June 30th. Eligible businesses will receive a dollar-for-dollar tax credit. IBE, a school tuition organization, is ready to help. Talk to your accountant today. A one-minute application to IBE and we take care of the rest. IBE works with over 290 diverse schools, awarding 95% of all corporate donations to low-income and disabled students. Deadline, June 30th. azcorporatetax.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on a Tuesday afternoon on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Randy Dorman is with us, one of the three Democrats running for the city of Tucson, the mayoral position. And Randy, it's hard to believe that early voting will begin in really a matter of weeks.
I think it's 45 days until ballots are sent out August 2nd, and then the primary's August 27th. It's all vote by mail. So, when you get it in the mail, vote for Randy and send it back.
What have you learned over the, you know, you're kind of new to politics, and what's kind of been the message that you've learned through all this experience?
It has been interesting being a political supporter in the past and then jumping in.
Yeah, you've worked on campaigns, but you've never been the focus of a campaign, right?
And it's a huge responsibility, and but I felt that it was a great opportunity to actually put forth a plan that can make real change here. I think it's so interesting. Ernesto Portillo did a column over the weekend about a pamphlet he found in his desk, I think from the 60s, that listed the things that we needed to do as a region.
1966.
So many of them we still need to do today. And I jumped in the race because I make things happen. And I got tired of waiting for other people to make the change that I think is going to turn Tucson into the thriving 21st century city that we need it to be.
Most people probably would put at the top of their list fixing the roads. You probably have heard that the most.
I hear that a lot.
Okay, and what do you tell the people?
I tell the people that fixing the roads is an issue. Our lack of public safety officers is an issue. Our lack of parks and open space is an issue. But they're really symptoms of a larger problem, which is that we don't have an economy that can sustain this community with the quality of life that we want. So we can complain about the roads and you can patch the roads, but that's a patch. We really need to look at the systemic problem of our 18% poverty rate, that every time we want a better quality of life, we say we don't have enough money because we're a low-wage town. It's time that we actually do something to change us from being a low-wage town. And that's why my economic development plan is geared exactly towards doing that.
What's the bottom line for your economic development plan that's actually going to put people to work?
Well, there's several pieces of it. I spoke a little bit about how we can focus on the small and medium-sized businesses that are here and the startups, and really be a hub for all things they need to grow, about creating industry-specific ecosystems, also making sure that we attract the right kind of businesses. I would like to partner with Sun Corridor robustly and also lead the way in my own efforts. I've done business all over the world. My contacts are global. And when we are trying to attract new business here, I would really like the community to think about who you would like to in those negotiations and those meetings. Somebody whose career has been in politics or someone who has already been in meetings with those multinational, multi-billion dollar companies. I think that's one of the great things that I bring to this race. And we also have to think of ourselves more as a region and collaborate. And it's interesting that in that pamphlet they talked about regional government. But at a minimum, you know, I met with Mike Ortega and with Chuck Huckleberry. Mm-hmm. And I have a great relationship with both of them. Mm-hmm. I talked to them about some of the departments that have redundant services or overlapping services. And if we broke up the silos, if we didn't act like silos, mm-hmm. got rid of any ego and acted like the region that we actually are, we'd be in a much better position. So in areas like planning and development services and parks, we can create efficiencies and invest that money right back into the community. I've been speaking about annexation and the importance of annexation from the moment I announced my candidacy in February, because so much of that state shared revenue goes up to Phoenix and doesn't come back down to us. So we need to continue that process. And also thinking beyond towards more international collaboration and not just thinking of ourselves as a region as in Pima County, but as a region from Mexico, you know, all the way up through the Sun Corridor. That is our position of strength. That is where there's opportunity for us.
How about the neighborhoods improving their own roads, these self-taxing districts? Isn't that kind of just a Band-Aid?
It's a little bit of a Band-Aid. I have mixed feelings about it. So I think that if neighborhoods want to take the initiative mm-hmm. and if they're tired of waiting for city government to do it, they should be allowed to do that if the neighborhood agrees. Mm-hmm. But there also has to be a way for that to happen while prioritizing what things actually need to be done and balancing with some of the lower income neighborhoods to make sure that they're not left out just because they might not have the same capacity for taxing as other neighborhoods. So I think that it's very possible to work out a system where that helps. But if you think about it, even the way the roads are being fixed now, that was a voter initiative. Mm-hmm. So we have not funded that through the city budget. And we need to grow that budget so that in the normal course of business, we can be funding the roads as we should. I met with the head of the Department of Transportation. She's great, Diana Alarcon.
Yeah, the new Department of Transportation
we
Director.
She's super, the new head of economic development.
She's
going to
be on the show coming up in the summer, yeah.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I would really look forward to partnering with both of them. But when I talked to Diana about the roads, you know, we have 60% of our roads are substandard, and it's not just about patching them. At a certain point, it's the substrate
right.
that you just can't continue to patch. And in a normal course of business, you would want to only have 30% of your roads as substandard. So okay. We have a lot to do.
Okay, Randy, we're running out of time. So why don't you tell people about your website?
Thank you. So you can learn more about me at randyformayor.com, RANDIFOR mayor.com. Mm-hmm. And you can also donate to my campaign, which I would love. But randyformayor.com and on Facebook, we're Randy Dorman for Mayor.
And where can people find out about this announcement that's going to be made probably in an hour on your website?
We will certainly post it on my website and on Facebook. I'm very excited about this big imminent endorsement.
There you go. Randy, thank you very much. Good
thank
to see you.
Thank you, Bill. It's always great to be here.
That's going
to
do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Randy Dorman and Bob Dio, my engineer producer, I am Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.